thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message already in progress.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Chief Apostle Sheila Benjamin Inusa at CB Heaven Hands Ministry Movement Worldwide One Life. We just thank God for his many blessings. We just thank God for taking us into this new year. We just thank God. He's an awesome God, and he's truly worthy to be praised. Again, this is CB Heaven Hands Ministry, 1728 North Main Street, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. You can reach us by phone at 904-353-2792. If you need a ride on Sunday mornings, give us a call. We'll come out and pick you up and take you back home. If you need a ride on Wednesdays, give us a call. We'll come and pick you up for our prayer meeting and our Bible study and take you back home. We are the New Millennium Church, a church that's on the move for God. We have a radical praise, and we just want to invite you to come out and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Again, that's 1728 North Main Street, Jacksonville, Florida, and we just thank God for each and every one of you. We invite you to visit us on our website at cbhelpinghandsministries.com. One Life with Pastor Sheila.com. There is truly something on our website for everyone. You can follow us as we go into Liberia, as we go into Ghana, as we go to Jamaica, as we go to Canada. We truly are God's hands of compassion here on earth, and we just thank God for what he's doing in and through this ministry. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We just thank God for all that he is doing in and through this ministry. Now, today, I want to come and encourage you. I want to tell you to hold on, that angels are coming. This sermon comes from Exodus 14, Daniel 3, and Daniel 6. I want you to know today that you just need to hold on, because angels are coming. The storms of life will come. Storms will knock on your door. If you keep on living, a storm will pop up in your life. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines a storm as a storm as violent weather, a disturbance in the air above the earth, with strong winds and unusually atmosphere, also with rain, snow, sleet, or hail, and sometimes lightning and thunder. Heavy rain or snow, a heavy fall of rain or sleet. But I came by to tell you tonight that if you keep on living, storms will appear in your life. Your storm can be loneliness. Your storm can be depression. Your storm can be illness. Your storm can be death. Your storm can be lack of finances. Your storm can be finance trouble. Trouble on every side, children in trouble, no job. If you live long enough, trouble will come and it will knock on your door. I'm going to call on three witnesses today to tell us that even though trouble may come, that you can withstand the storm, and that storms come in your life, but God will come and see about you. I want us to use the backdrop of the children of Israel. I want us to use the backdrop of Daniel. The first witness I want to call is the children of Israel. They had a storm in their life. They cried out, and let me tell you what the Lord said. He said, hold your peace. God did not remove the storm. He took them through the Red Sea. Are you standing at a Red Sea in your life right now? Because I come by to tell you today that he's not going to move the Red Sea, but he's going to take you through the Red Sea, and he will be with you every step of the way. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. God told Moses, stretch forth your hand over the sea. The sea parted, and the children of Israel walked through on dry land. That's the kind of God that we have. They get to the other side, and they start doubting God again. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God is able to fight our battles. We have victory in Christ Jesus. Two chapters later, the children of Israel are doubting God again and complaining, wishing they were back in the land of Egypt. We often forget how bad a situation was that we were delivered from. We whine and we complain, always forgetting what God has done in our life. God shows us that he is ever present in our life. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about host, a small round thing. And when they saw it, the children of Israel asked, what is it? They had already forgotten that God told them he was going to send flesh in the morning and bread in the, flesh in the evening and bread in the morning. So we do not always recognize God's provisions when he sends them. We don't always recognize what God is giving us to bless us. Moses had to remind them time and time again, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall be all right. We need to understand that time and time again that God provided for the children of Israel. But time and time again, they forgot what God had just blessed them with. They forgot what God had just done in their life, and God had to do it again and again and again. I want to call my second witness. They're called the three Hebrew boys. They too had storms in their life. They at the time made an image of the golden God. And at that time, they were told that when they heard the music, that they had to fall down and worship the golden image that the king had set up. And whoever did not fall down and worship the golden image, that same would be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So when everyone else heard the music, they fell down and worshiped the golden image. My question to you is, what would you do in this circumstance? Verse 17 tells us that the three boys answers the king, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18 says, but if not, be it known unto the king that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which he has set up. What will we do in that same circumstance? They understood that God is a jealous God, and we are to have no other God before him. So the king had the furnace heated 7 times more. He commanded that the most mightiest men in his army to bind the three Hebrew boys up and cast them into the fiery furnace. Now, because the furnace was so hot, the flames slew the men that took them up, and the three Hebrew boys fell in bound. Can't the enemy come to bind you up? that I want you to understand that they fell in. Now watch our God. I want you to watch what God did in this circumstance. He did not stop them from being thrown into the fiery furnace. But I want you to listen to what he said. The next morning, the king rose up in haste, and he went to the furnace. But when he got there and he looked in, he said to his servant, did not we cast three men in bound into the fiery furnace? I see four, and they are walking around in the fire. No hurt and harm has come to them, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. This king who did not believe recognized the Son of God. He recognized that they threw three in, but God was in the midst of the fire with the three Hebrew boys. The king said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they may not serve, not wishing any God except their own God. He finally stated, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted them. And the third witness I call today is Daniel. Daniel had some haters in his life that was jealous of him. Daniel prayed three times a day. My God has sent his angels to shut up the mouth of the lion. Because Daniel would not stop praying three times a day, Daniel was cast into the lion's den. When they went to see if any hurt had came upon Daniel, God has sent his angels to shut the mouths of the lions so that no hurt had come upon him. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before the king have I done no harm. I came by to tell you that God will send his angels to see about you. Do I have another witness in the house tonight that knows God will send his angels to see about you? You know, God has sent his angels to see about me before. I've been down to my last dime and didn't know how I was going to make it. But he dispatched angels on my behalf. I've had enemies. I've had haters. I've had stumbling blocks set out before me. But God has sent his angels to look after me. And I want to tell you that just like he did it for the three stories that I told you, the three Hebrew boys, Daniel and the children of Israel, he'll do that same thing for you. Trust him. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I guarantee that he is a present help in time of trouble, and he will come and see about you. Just continue to look to the hills from which cometh your help, and your help cometh from the Lord. I want to encourage you today that your angel is on the way. I want to encourage you today that just like he rained manna down from heaven and he guided them by night and by day, I want you to know that he'll do the same thing for you. The same God that intervened on their behalf way back then, that same God is intervening on your behalf, intervening on my behalf. And no weapon, the weapon is going to form, but it shall not prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I want you to know that you are blessed. What God has blessed cannot be cursed. You are blessed. And the blessings of the Lord is up on you today. I declare and decree blessings for you in 2018. I declare and decree that the favor of the Lord shall be with you in 2018 everywhere you go. I want you to know that you are blessed to be a blessing. So as God bless you, go bless someone else. Now this has been Chief Apostle Sheila Benjamin Anusa with CB Helping Hands Ministry, One Life at 1728 North Main Street, Phone number 904-353-2793. We are truly God's Hands of Compassion here on earth. Visit our website, cbhelpinghandsministries.com, onelifewithpastorsheila.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We invite you to come out and worship with us. We are a new millennium church that is full of love, but we're most of all, we're on the move for God. We're the living, breathing hands of compassion that God has called to bring change into this world now. So we invite you to come and be a part of a movement, to come and be a part of a ministry, an outreach, a movement that is truly on the move for God. We say, God bless you. And remember that you are blessed. God loves you. He sent his only begotten son that you might have life and life more abundantly. We at CB Heaven Hands Ministry loves you. Go out and love a lost and dying world. Be blessed.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everyone. This message today, or this teaching, is based on the real gift, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. In Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, it tells the real story and the real meaning of the Christmas celebration. The 18th verse in the King James Version of the first chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Listen, let's stop right there. It's imperative that we know that she was espoused to Joseph. Espoused is greater than being engaged, but slightly less than being married, but just as binding as being married. And the second part of the verse says, before they came together, which means before they had any sort of sexual contact, any intercourse, before they touched, even their parents designed or got this thing together when they were young and raised them up to be married. And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that her insemination was from on high, as the angel said. But this is the true gift from God. This is what Christmas is all about. And we're going to find out later on in the scriptures the true gift and why we needed the gift. We have exploited Christmas, and we have commercialized Christmas, and that's okay. In this regard, that's okay if we have gifts and we have material things, and God wants us to have everything. But he just don't want us to put things between us and him. As a matter of fact, he even said in this same book, the book of Matthew, but the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse, he started off with the conjunction. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He was speaking about anything that we need to include things that we desire or believe God for. We're his children. He's our Father. He wants us to have all things. He said that was one of the reasons why Jesus came, that we might have life, first of all, and then have it more abundantly. This is the gift of God. Okay, listen, the 19th verse clearly reads, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," that means he was right before God, he was honest, he was fair, he submitted to God, says, "and not willing to make her a public example, didn't want her to be ridiculed because she was walking around pregnant before marriage." And of course, even today, people judge us not so much today as they did back then, and not so much in our culture as they did in the Jewish culture, "not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to hide her because she was pregnant." A good man. didn't want to make a public example out of her for people to mock her or, you know, judge her unrighteously, of course. And the 20th verse says, but while he thought on these things, while he was thinking on these things, here's an example how God shows up right on time or sends his angels right on time. God is a multitasker, if I can use that phrase for him. He's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere at all times. He knows all things. It says, but while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now, notice how he referenced David. I mean, how he referenced Joseph. He referenced Joseph as thou son of David, knowing that Joseph came from the lineage of David, and God had promised David that his kingdom would never end, allowing him to know that the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, would come through the lineage of David, and Joseph came from the lineage of David, even though Joseph had not one thing to do with the birth of Christ. But he said, he got his attention, thou son of David, fear not, and take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Go ahead and marry her. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. My God. Lord, I thank you. Is of the Holy Ghost. Here's some good news. He listened. Men, let's listen when God speaks to us. People of God, let us listen when the word of God is being spoken. And the 21st verse says, and she shall bring forth a son. Here is the gender. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. My God, which means Jehovah. For he shall save his people from their sins. Plural. Let's stop right there. Here is the gift. God saw the condition of this world, the poor condition that this world was in. Let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Here is the gift. He gave. He saw that we needed a Savior. That we were in trouble. And we were separated from God. As Isaiah said, our sins have separated us from our God. And she shall bring forth a son. Here's the gender. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Here's his name. And this is what he'll do. For he shall save his people from their sins. Well, Adam allowed it to come in, sin to come in, and the second Adam is coming with the cure. Here's the gift. The gift is from God, and the gift is God. Everything that we buy out of the store, off the car lots, or the real estate people take us on these walkthroughs, and we want to buy these big houses, and we want to buy these coats and clothes, and that's okay as long as we don't forget who the real gift is and who the real gift is for. It's the real gift is Jesus, and he is for us, that he would save us, his people, from their sins. The 22nd verse says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now, any prophecy that's a little bit wrong is a false prophecy. If just one smidget, if 1,000 things are right and one smidget is wrong, it's false. But Isaiah had the perfect prophecy of the coming of the Lord. I want to read that verse again. Now all these things were done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, listen what he said, behold, hallelujah, in the 23rd verse, a virgin shall be with child, amen, that's Mary, and shall bring forth a son, that's Jesus, the gift, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. God our Father reached within himself and pulled out the righteous Jesus. And Jesus left his home in glory to come down here and to walk among us, was made flesh, and was the perfect example And he submitted himself, as Paul told the church at Philippi. He was obedient unto death, even a shameful death of the cross. And Paul said, now let this mind be in you, this humble spirit that was also in Christ Jesus. As a side note, as a sidebar, God, which being interpreted is God.